Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Once again, happy hump day, Jay Foreman, my man Harrison on the ones and twos. We got the original OG, Old School. DP is to my left. Once you get the up on the string in the stream, we are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Greens at Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt / Old Cheney, 168th and Maple up there in the O. Be on the lookout for their specials starting tomorrow and Friday for the lunch specials. That is, we'll make sure that we get them on social media. But with a lot going on in an odd way in college football, I always like to bring in people that have, you know, unique perspectives. Obviously, it's something that me and DP actually had talked about, I think, like 2 years ago. Because we talked about it when the NFL did a about face. Remember when Aaron Rodgers couldn't go to Vegas for fantasy football because it was associated with, was it DraftKings? Mm-hmm. We were in here together, original Old School, me, you, and Austin. When the Alabama baseball coach essentially snitched on everybody at every sport, wrestling and football included.
Everything.
You know, we've obviously talked off air about different, professional athletes, you know, in particular basketball, obviously, Porter, up there in Toronto and betting on games, but it just came out today. If you haven't heard, there's two stories, but the one I think is the most interesting, that the NCAA, of all people, is closer to letting athletes bet on pro sports. Okay? So, I always say when these articles come out, they just want to see the reaction. So, DP, what's your reaction?
So, I preface all this by saying I'm not a bettor. I'm not a bettor at all. But I also don't slight people who bet. I think you're interesting humans, but
no, people that casually bet or that are degenerates, because if somebody's like, all right, well, I'll bet you $5 on the,
that's you
normal.
Just, yeah. You know,
we're talking about,
I'm talking about people that in full accounts, there is a process to their betting, and you get too fully formed in it and too connected to it. You become invested in it.
Literally.
And yeah. Emotionally, physically, financially, you become invested in the betting. And the problem with that becomes lack of control. You lose control because it's set up for you that once you're invested, it's like the drug dealer.
Yeah.
If I give you a free one and I give you another free one, just a small bit, I get you closer and I lure you in.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, that little bit ain't enough. And then that freebie ain't enough. And now you're willing to go. And now you need it rather than want it. And it now has control. And that's the thing. But that, for me, I know my personality type.
Yeah.
So for me, it was always in the DC days, Carolina days, when you're around the athletes and coaches that much, you see how they live and what's going on. So you know things.
Right.
and you're watching people bet, and you're going, why are you, bro, why are you betting on this dude? Do you know you this dude?
You need to add a DP hotline.
Right. Did you know this dude? Right. Yeah. Like, I saw this dude at the club at 3 a.m. the night before a playoff game.
Guaranteed two drops.
Right. Like, we knew what it was. So, in that, do your thing. What you do, you. And if your vice, I'm not downing your vice. Your vice is your vice. But when you start doing business, when you start doing the business of betting, then you get into control, adjusting numbers, manipulating players, and then manipulating coaches. And that's the part you also miss, is they think, well, it's players. Like, you're going to allow college players to bet. Well, if you allow college players to bet on pros, you're allowing college coaches to bet on the pros too. And then there's some competition, right? Then you're getting into egos. Then you're getting into financial management, right? Because now you've got people who, grown-ups, who will hustle and be the person in place. Hey, man, if you're going to bet, come through to me. I'm a pro. Man, you ain't a pro.
Yeah.
You ain't a pro, right? Then it becomes, well, wait a minute. You winning and I'm losing. Wait a minute. If a player's winning in betting and the coach is losing and they talk about it, what do you think happens? The power balance is thrown way out the building. And then you get into the business that universities are getting closer to becoming addicted to, this thing called betting and the money that's attached to it. And once you let them in the door, as your grandmother would say, my grandmother would say, devil can't come in unless you invite him. The devil can't come in by itself. You have to let it in. You have to literally say, come on in. This, in my mind, feels like that.
Right.
It feels like if you're going to allow them to bet on college, then you're gonna get them in the system of betting, in the investment of betting.
Now you're in the long term.
The highs and lows of betting. Yeah. And then, oh, it's your boy, right? Because, I don't know, the guy that was his team captain when you were senior, you're still talking to. He's in the league.
Yeah.
He know things. Yeah. And then you know things about him. Because it's, oh, man. I know what that dude doing on Friday. It's just, to me, I don't know why it's necessary. If it just becomes about money, then all bets are off. Because then, hey, man, there's all sorts of businesses that want to legitimate and otherwise.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was my question I wanted to ask you, is because do you think it's because of overall all the teams? Obviously, Nebraska's obviously pretty good financially. So all the way down to the teams that are literally struggling. I'm going to ask you twofold. Do you think it's more for the betterment of everybody, you know, when they're starting to bring in some private equity money, allowing kids to bet? I'm sure there's some kickbacks coming back, right?
That's first. They kicking first.
Right.
They ain't kicking back. They kicking first.
Do you think that's to cover everybody, or is it because they know a lot of it's already going on and you've had numerous violations over the last, 18 months?
And those are just the things you know about.
Right. So is it like, okay, they're doing it anyways. It's kind of like what NIL. They're paying them. Now it's out of control. Let's just try to, you know, dice it up a little bit before the bottom falls out.
The answer to both is yes. The answer to both is yes.
Yeah.
I think they're surprised at how widespread it is. Social media has certainly engaged it, because you got these content creators who do, you know, the betting pools. Right. And then if you see your star player on their feed.
Yeah. Oh, then you just.
And you go, wait a minute. Well, why is he following the betting dude?
Yeah.
It always existed. It was the CD Jimmy the Greek follower.
Yeah.
Who was doing it out of a house in Henderson, Nevada, rather than doing it digitally on an app that you can track. And remembering that most college students and most high school students do not understand. They think that they're anonymous digitally. No, you're literally you're planting seeds for them to track who's betting, how much money. You cannot do a wire transfer digitally and not have it resonate on the stream. It shows up.
Yeah.
So that now they know. They get a report. The deal with FanDuel is, I guarantee you, a part of it is to get the digital imprint of who's betting, from where, and about what.
Yeah.
I'm not getting in bed with you without money, without knowing who are you doing business with, right? And FanDuel wants to know how many Huskers are doing business. They need to know. Why? Because it'll tell them how much money to put into the market. Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Nebraska betting on volleyball. Let's put some money behind that. And then next thing you know, the next star player is the FanDuel athlete. And then it's draft. Well, they're going to battle with that. Now DraftKings needs to get in the pool. With FanDuel making money in Lincoln and Omaha, we sure want to get in. Think of how hard it was to get alcohol, to get beer in the stadium.
Yeah.
And you're gonna get in place with the thing that has more dire effect, more negative result than betting.
On the game, too.
On the game.
On the outcome. Or potentially on the outcome.
And on the people.
Yeah, and it's not – and I think, you know, that's a great point. I don't think it's, like, direct – technically not direct because you're betting on, pro sports.
With your – nice amount of NIL money that you just ran into. You got just more money than you know what to do with.
You just go from a high school graduation in June or July. You got a
they're betting in high school. That can I say that?
You can.
Okay. No, let me punch a few ghosts while I'm at it.
Listen, I'm not naming names.
Right.
I'm not naming anybody's names that are here in Lee. I was down in Dallas, Texas, driving, I think, 10 basketball players. And I was astonished. And it was during the Masters. And they must have, I literally had no idea. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm betting someone five. It was only $5, but it was like, I'm betting $5. So-and-so going to make the cut. I was like, I said, bro, you don't know nothing about golf. I'm thinking just same thing. Whoever you're betting for, he ain't got a chance to make it. But it's rampant. Rampant, man.
So I was speaking at a local school, and I'm there in the space just waiting to speak. And there's a group. There's two different groups of young men, and they're talking betting. They're talking betting. I am mortified. I'm mortified. Like I'm. So let me say this as nicely and as directly as I can say this to the parents of high school students out there, high school and middle school students. Because if your high school son is the big brother to a middle school son, your middle school son is betting.
Or and, about to.
And let me say this to you. If you do not have control of the digital aspect and the emotional aspect and the integral, that whole thing with integrity within family, if you don't have that under control, get your kids. Get your kids, because they betting, and it's not good. It's not good to have, Jay, you know what happened? There's a group of eight and a group of six. You know what happened to both those groups? A dude walked up. The dude. The better dude.
You got to get his money.
Hey, man. It looked like cockroaches on a bad Friday. They scattered, bro. They was trying to get away from dude. Dude was like, no, that's okay. I know where you're going to be. Do not allow your kids to participate in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a betting house, cool. Do your thing. I'm not trying to control what you do in your house. But I'm telling you, when it gets to middle school and high school, and if your sons are doing it, your daughters are doing it too. And so you just need to, when you let this into the space in full, remember I'm old enough to remember Jimmy. There was one betting guy. It was Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah.
That's it. And he'd sit Sunday and he would tell you, like he'd tell you who he thought was betting, and your dad would write it down on pencil, right? In the old neighborhood.
Be at the barbershop.
Be at the barbershop, dude, taking numbers.
Taking numbers.
Numbers, right? And it never ended well. Harrison, it never ends well. You don't know anybody who got rich off betting. You don't know anybody. Most people listening, you may know a unicorn who hit it once big, but you don't know anybody who bets professionally who got rich off of
it. Well, FanDuel will shut your account down. They have the right. If you start winning too much, they'll just shut it down. So you can't win.
Again, you don't know nobody.
Oh, really?
You don't know nobody. You don't know nobody. who got their account shut down because they was winning too
much. Yeah, I don't know a single person. There's like one guy.
Yeah, you know, it's a unicorn. It was the one dude, Jay. It was the one dude had a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, the dude, we know a dude when we was in Vegas. And you have the vision.
Yeah. Well, these kids are getting fed the vision. You have the podcast.
And you just go, man, this is perfect.
It does sound good when they tell it to you.
Well, you listen to the podcast sponsored by FanDuel. They watch the football game. This game is sponsored by DraftKings. They go listen to the Joe Klatt postgame show. This is sponsored by FanDuel again. Everything's sponsored by sports gambling now. So the kids are hearing it nonstop. And about all these, you know, stars in the media talking about these are my picks for the weekend. They're getting fed all the time. That this is a dream.
I'm going to give you $500 free money just to get you to link up an account.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to win some small amount, and then they got you. Hook, line, and sink.
Now well, they're giving you $500 on the spot.
Yeah, but you're
you
you're
know the, that's
you're
bad
going off. To you're going to lose the 500.
Oh, 100%.
You're going to lose the 500 and then another 500. So they just lured you in.
And you can't withdraw that 500.
Nope.
It's just 500 to bet, right? Yeah.
But 500 only 500 of that current, you can only bet. And again, if they're Bitcoin. Giving you 500 Bitcoin. On the spot, what does Bitcoin that tell account. You?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's here to stay. I mean, I was talking about, I don't know what year that was. Aaron Rodgers was going to do like an appearance for a fantasy football must have been a big league down in Las Vegas, and the NFL said no. Next thing you know, you could bet in NFL stadiums as long as you're in like this office.
The sports book. Yeah, they have a sports book
in the facility
now.
It would have never been a thought. I would have never thought it would came this far.
Here's some of what happened. So Harrison, this is where I see it. So let's say it's Meatball State University, right? We're gonna make up one, and the star quarterback gets sponsored by FanDuel, X number of dollars, and hey, we'll pay you more if you actually do picks that week. Right? Because more money. Once you tell me that there is a number for you, then I can get you for more numbers. But what if the middle linebacker is devout, religious, and doesn't want to be around betting in the locker room by teammates? What happens?
He got to go somewhere else. Not me, but he got to go somewhere else.
Right? Like, so then if you're the coach, what do you do?
That's part of the background. I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's crazy.
If you're the coach and your player, you know your players are betting.
You got to get that under control. You got to get it under control, or at least get it. Number one, you're never probably going to get it under control because they're after 18, they're technically adults. But I think you need to have a pulse on it.
A betting coordinator.
A betting coordinator
on staff.
So you know,
is that what?
Just need to stop promoting it. I mean, seriously, that's where I lie.
That ain't going to stop it. But I'm saying this. You have to have a good idea on how much is going on in your team. That's period. It's no different than for an NFL team. Mm-hmm. Or NBA, guys, smoke a little weed, right? You got to know how much they're doing, when they're doing it. You got to have a pulse on your team because you're not going to stop it. So you might as well get that out of your brain. All right, because if they're betting in middle school and high school, by the time they get to college, if they're doing it or if they know about it, and then now they can, even if they can bet up to the pros, you're not going to stop it because their main reply is going to be, well, I'm not betting on these games. They don't understand the psychology of it, but you have to have a good snapshot of it. And then obviously you're going to have to spend money in education.
Let me propose this, that a quarterback from Texas, high school quarterback from Texas, picks his college based on the NIL deal, gets a portion of the money. He's got a betting situation, right? He's got a betting situation. Mm. He then loses the majority of that money. And then he starts losing some more money. What happens to the real dude? You know what? I'm going to lock you in. But here's the thing. You need to get some more money, bro. I need my money. Or you got to pay.
Throw a game.
You got to throw a game for me. Now, if you don't want to throw a game, you've got to transfer. You got to get out of there and go find another pocket of cash to do this.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand this stuff is going on, It's been going, as Jay said, it's been going on. Yeah. It is now a thing where they now have to consider, let's have some conversations about what this really means. It's never the first thing that burns the bridge. It's the things that you don't think about. The first thing, if you're just doing business, that's one thing.
Yeah.
You're doing better business. Yeah. And you're doing Vegas business, which is family business.
Yeah, that's, and they've been doing it way longer than these kids. And, I mean, I just think that it's hard. I think the best thing that you can do, or one of the best selling points, me and Harrison were just talking about naming rights eventually for stadiums so everybody can try to stay whole in this whole, pay for play type of thing. Whether you want to call it or not, you're paying the players. Is that what I know for a fact, not enough universities are spending resources, aka money, to educate the players on everything that comes with the money that they are receiving. You might send it in, they'll take your taxes out. That ain't good enough. And this is nothing against like Merle Lynch or anything. You can have those guys that came in and they can put on a computer and send you a financial plan. That's good, but that's not good enough. If you don't have people that know the language, I always say athletes are like wolves. They know the sense. If you don't have anybody talk to these guys or on staff that can help these guys work through it, that's been there and done it, and kind of steer them in the right way or get them out of the wrong way or get them out of a jam, you are not doing all you can do, quote unquote, for your student athletes or your athletes or whatever you want to name them now.
So we pitched this idea back in D.C., Georgetown, that in order for NIL's deals to be done for any athlete or any business, that the businesses have to go through a course and the students, before you accept an NIL deal, you have to go through compliance, which tells you, listen, these are the right deals, things to look for, what percentage goes to taxes. So if you're going to get $10,000, what percentage of it is going to go to taxes? Maybe add it on to the top end of it rather than the bottom end, right? Go through it. Yeah. The businesses that if we're going to do these deals, then the tax portion of it needs to be, you need to take care of the young person. You're the business person. You need to take care of it. And then parents have to come in and have to be a part of it. Parents tell you, you know what? I got a job. I can't get off work. Well, we do it on Zoom. We all go through and we consume it. If you tell me that you do not have the time, which is going to be excuse number one for programs, I don't have time. We don't have time. We barely have enough time to beat Northwestern. We do not have enough time to put teaching every player, some 565 athletes and their parents and all the 500 businesses that want to do business with them, how this should be done. But if you're not doing all that, you're asking for trouble.
You're asking for trouble, in the short and long term, but then also you're not selling your program 100%.
And it would be a wonderful added value if you had it in place.
It wouldn't even be that. That'd be actually somewhere you could really sway some guys and sway some parents, especially now with athletes being more savvy. As much as we talked about them being able to bet, they're more savvy business-wise now coming in as well because of social media. But if you can do that and do it really, do it though. Not just do it to say you did it, but do it the real way. You could pull a lot of recruits and you can actually build a legacy of being a different type of program because that's how you're going to set yourself apart. Sure, you can, get in, I guess a new state or you could do all the things or whatever, but to separate yourself in this NIL part right now, you better have some real people around these kids.
They don't want real people around the kids.
You need to have real kids around, real people around them because
Harrison, you see the look on Jay's face just now.
I'm just telling you because
wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Okay. All I'm saying is this in order because it as much it would benefit, I guess whatever like mentors would mentor the players to the mentees. In my opinion, it would benefit the football team twofold. Why? Here's why. I would say if you want to make a splash in NIL, you better not only can you offer money, you need to offer things. The things is what keep you set. Harrison's the coach, Jay Foreman's the player, DP's the mentor, and I'm the mentee. Okay, I'm thinking about transferring. I'm not just leaving Harrison, because that's kind of easy, right? Because Harrison can get a job, he can leave. I can't leave my mentor because my mentor is going to look out for me. It helps you with roster retention. How do you become constantly competitive, constantly in the mix? It's roster retention. You've seen it with Ohio State. You've seen other teams that do it, and that's why they're able to constantly be in the mix.
People over money. I just like, look, if you put money first over people, it's not going to work. If you put people over money, you got a shot.
Yeah. Anyways, good segment. We're going to take a quick break, come back. Jay Foreman, Harrison DP, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back. Jay Foreman, DP, OG, old school with Harrison on the ones and twos. One more segment. Short segment. Then I got Jason Peter coming in. Gonna have him in for the rest of the season on a weekly basis, obviously during game week. But DP, I wanted to ask you this, man. This is a funny thing. This is go right in line with
Shaggy. Wasn't me.
Wanna ask you this. The NCAA. There's another article. They put it out there about gambling. Then they said, you know what? We've set up a hotline to call in with anonymous tips if you hear or know a university with NIL violations. So it's essentially they want you to do their job for them, right? Because remember they had the clearinghouse. That's overdone, right? They have too many deals. Now I said, you know what, we're not gonna worry about doing our work.
You guys have been honest with us. You guys can keep an eye on this, right? You've been honest the whole time.
Hey, Bama. Call us in. Tell us about Georgia.
Hey, dial 1-900-NIL-NARC. NIL-NARC. If you got a secret, dial. It's the NARC knock hotline. 1-900-NIL-NARC. That's crazy business.
Yeah.
What do you? And then what happened? Hey, from a burner phone.
Her blame.
I mean, how many times is Ohio State going to call in Michigan? Michigan, Ohio State,
especially week of. The week of.
The week of.
You know, the Red River Shootout.
Oh, Texas and Oklahoma.
I just saw Julian Saint putting a crazy bet. Yeah, he got a parlay between five college teams.
Big bag in the back of the truck, red truck. Here's the license plate number.
He hasn't done a commercial for a said company in 2 years. He needs to be suspended. Now, what are you going to do after? I mean, what are you going to do? Say you call and it's a good tip or not. You're going to call and say,
"Where's the end?
Can we have the money back?" Negative, Ghost Rider. That pattern's full. You're not playing. Oh, yes, I am. I mean, but I think it became, once again, I like the thought of having a clearinghouse to kind of clean up the NIL.
That was the best idea they had.
And then, you know, then you have the red sharing. So that's the thought of it. But then were you not staffed correctly?
No, you got one operator. You got one operator answering the phone. Hello, NIL hotline.
No worry about it. What was that? What's the dude's name? Bernie Madoff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember when they did his movie and they said he had his accountant like in that room that with no windows.
Yeah.
And then he buzzed on the phone. And he would come out, but when you went into the office, it was just stacks upon stacks of papers.
Yeah.
That's the dude over there.
It's like every bad movie we've imagined, right? That there's a room with phone lines and. It just goes straight to voicemail. Somebody answers every once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. There's simplicity in this stuff that if you're willing to do it the right way, it would work. But people just do not want to do. They always want to cut corners. They always want to take the cheap shot. It doesn't always make, like, for me, the compliance, the big tent, the conference compliance should be enough to handle these things. Yeah. There literally should be a team of people. There's a consult. There's somebody in charge of compliance at every university, every program. That compliance person meets with the conference head. We do it on the high school level. It's the athletic department and then the region. So district, region, otherwise, you have to be responsible for, hey, listen, man, we got a report that you're paying players. Well, who gave you the report? That's the wrong answer.
That's
the wrong answer.
How'd you find out?
That's the wrong answer. The right, correct answer is, well, our compliance guy has met. We've reported everything that we need to report, and we haven't done anything.
Yeah.
But as you said, sometimes these universities get so locked into doing the work to maintain their job and their pay rather than doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And it happens too often. Nebraska's in a unique space. I mean, again, you have the revenue stream and you have the player personnel resource. You have an alumni base that covers almost every end of the financial and geographical spectrum. So there's somebody for anybody. You need need a Polynesian leader? You got one. Need a black leader from New Jersey? Got one. Need one from Minnesota? Got one. Need one from California? Got one. Yeah. Need a country boy from Scotts Bluff? Got you. Whatever you need, you just have to rally the people and put them in place.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. It really isn't that complicated. If you had 10 former Huskers who was there to answer questions, notice the blind spot. If Jay Foreman's looking for Nebraska football's blind spots, they're covered. They're covered. And if something goes wrong, Jay Foreman says, hey, man, blind spot. You may not notice, but this thing might be a situation. Yeah. 10 people doing good work is better than no people with a blind eye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting that they got a hotline. I want to prank call it.
The hotline.
Man, you know, I seen Kurt Ferentz.
I want to answer. I'm applying for that job. Get the number. I'm applying for that job because I'm taking notes, receipt. I'm recording everything. Because then, hey man, I heard Iowa. Hey Kurt, I just got a phone call, bro. You need to take care of this, and then you need to take care of me first. Yeah. Hey, Michael Loxley, we got a phone call. We got a tip. Look, I'm going to need a cut. I'm going to need a percentage. Let me in. Let me answer the phone for this. I'm all in.
Yeah, it's going to be it screams desperation.
It says we're doing this to say you can't say we're doing nothing.
Yeah.
It's essentially
the smoke screen is like it's CYA again, which it's essentially professional sports. You want to make sure we got all the checks and balances so when you come to us and it didn't work, it's not our fault. It's their fault.
But we got a NARC hotline.
Yeah.
What do you want us to do?
Yeah.
Harrison Arns, he was like, man, I want that job. I need that host spot. Hey, DP, I heard Nick was at the club.
You just breaking all types of. Just imagine you when the coaches go to whatever conference, Big Ten Media Days, and school had called on one of their players
in Vegas.
Just imagine, because I think the coaches get together like outside of like when they're doing interviews, they have like a coach's like place they hang out. Just imagine that Ryan Day in there and what's his name that walks in there from Michigan?
Moore?
Yeah. And just to look at each other.
I'd have my remote controlled camera on my milk cup. What did you say? What's going on? How are you?
I mean, just imagine just the text messages and looking at each other, man. You talk about some animosity, boy. It wouldn't be just Greg Schiano hitting him with the pinky with Ryan Day. It'd be personal. Hey, I know. You know you made that payment. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Well, why'd you tell him? Because we wanted him. Yeah, man. I think that, it's always funny when things come out like this because it's like, all right, we're going to allow you to gamble. But you know what we're doing? We're going to do our good duty of the day, and we're going to have a hotline. So anybody and everybody, if you want to be on the up and up, you can call and tell on them. Do you get, like, certain bonus points? Do you, like, all right, you told on 3 schools, so then you get one violation?
You got to make a quota.
Yeah, but then you get one violation for free?
Yeah, it's a quota. It's a quota.
Upstanding citizen. Yeah. I'll tell you that after your third call.
It's like a good driving record.
You're an upstanding citizen.
You have 5 points. You told on 5 schools, so you know what? This. You got 5 times you can get told on. So
you like
make the NARC award.
The school bus patrol. The person with the little orange belt and the little silver badge.
Hallway monitor.
Just walking into stadiums and across the big Ten conference, just like, showing your badge.
You know what they are? They're like the uniform police in the NFL.
Yeah.
That you don't know who they are, but they're watching over there like, yeah. Your socks are too low. That'd be $5,000. Thank you very much for doing business.
It'll be in your locker.
Yeah. Harrison, either.
Yeah.
Give me that money. Give me that money.
Right quick before we go to break, Old Dad 34 says, speaking of NIL, Trey Taylor signed the deal with B-Dubs in his hometown. I'm assuming that's food? Restaurant? Yeah.
B-Dubs, Buffalo
Wings. Oh, B-Dubs. Oh. Hey.
Get fed.
Hey, Trey. Hey.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, we need lemon pepper.
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what I always thought NIL was going to be. Like, local. That. Yeah, because remember when we had, what's his name? He had to deal with the AC company.
Oh,
his name was
The Coldest
Crawford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was, when the NIL first came, I think that's whatever. It's like, oh, this will be fun. Where is he at now? He transferred.
You see Jay looking over here.
Look. Right. And the coldest is probably.
He at the crib. That's where didn't he go to Louisiana Tech? The coldest is at the crib. That's where he's just hanging
out. He's at Louisiana Tech. All right. I told you, yeah, he's at Louisiana Tech.
He had a touchdown a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, good for him, man. Yeah. Good for him. Anyways, we'll take a break. NCAA is on point, like always. Jay Foreman, DP, Harrison, we'll holler at you in a little bit.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman? My man Harrison on the ones and twos, 1040 O Street, live in effect. Old school on The Ticket. Quick segment here before we get to the 5 o'clock hour. Harrison, over under, Bill Belichick is in North Carolina this time next year. Yes or no? Oh, and they over, no, over.
Yeah, I was gonna say
over under, but yes. No.
I was just reading the tweets. I'm still trying to catch up on it, but I was like, one person said this is happening, then you have two people, and then you have three, and on some of the major networks. And Bill Belichick hasn't been necessarily denying any of it. He's kind of been pulling back. I don't know what's all going on, but it seems more real than fake at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get anything out of Bill Belichick. No. Hey, listen, if there's one dude we rob a bank with, that's him.
Man, that is true. Well, Jay, you could do some devious stuff with Bill Belichick. He won't tell us.
Mumbling through it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you have there's I guess people out there saying that he potentially could get bought out. He had that weird, it was weird that he was the acting head coach, but hadn't signed his contract. And then he had a clause in there that he could get out at a certain point. There was even questions whether he was going to go to the NFL even after he didn't get hired in that first cycle wait another year. I mean, it's just really interesting the way his contract is done. You know, the people he has in place. You know, he has two of his sons on staff. He has Mike Lombardi, you know, is like his GM. You're there. You kind of redid the whole kind of university. I know they have a lot of money down there, but like, dang, man, you just got there. You've recruited all those players, type of players. It'd be, unless it's something major, you know, because you can chalk up any type of violations right now. It's just that he doesn't know.
Yeah. How bad are those violations?
Yeah. Are they bigger violations now because you aren't winning?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
there's like 70 new dudes on the team. This team was going to stink, probably.
Right.
And the opening game versus TCU.
But, Harrison, the athletic director supposedly didn't want Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
The president did, right?
Well, because who's the last coach? Brown? No.
Matt Brown.
Yeah. He was actually doing all right. I mean, UNC wasn't. Yeah, for UNC.
It was a little down year for them, but I mean, they made a bowl game. They were, you know, obviously competitive. They had a couple, you know, guys drafted really high. And, you know, Mac Brown was a little older, but remember, he got fired like during the midweek.
Yeah.
They didn't even want to let him coach the last game. The athletic director didn't want Bill Belichick. Powers that be did. Now it's like, I told you so. Okay, you're right. How can we get out of this? You know, how can we make this right? But I think eventually, if they get past this initial season, whether it's one or two more seasons after, I think he'll have some sort of success because he's too good of a coach, X's and O's, outside of all the other stuff that not to be successful. So
if he can make it through the season, though.
Right.
That part.
Yeah. It's a great place to be. I mean, it's a hotbed for talent. You know, you got a lot of financial support. So hopefully he's able to get it going. But anyways, that's our second hour. My man Harrison on the ones and twos. Appreciate DP coming in, giving his thoughts on some of the stuff going on in the NCAA. We'll take a quick break. Come back. We'll be at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Old school. 937 The Ticket.